Dead Tomorrow by Peter James, narrated by David Baucom.
After perching herself on the edge of a hard, upright chair, she rummaged in her bag and popped a couple of glucose tablets into her mouth. Why did Dr. Hunter want to see her so urgently? Was it about the blood test she'd had last week? Or, as was more likely, about Caitlin? When she'd had scares before, like the time she'd found a lump on her breast, or the time she'd become terrified that her daughter's erratic behaviour might be a symptom of a brain tumour, he had simply rung her himself and given her the good news that the biopsy or the scan or the blood tests were fine. There was nothing to worry about. Inasmuch as there could ever be nothing to worry about with Caitlin, she crossed her legs, then uncrossed them. Dressed smartly, she was wearing her best coat, blue mid-length woolen cashmere, a January sale bargain, a dark blue knitted top, black trousers and black suede boots. Although she would never admit it to herself, she always tried to make herself look good when she came to see the doctor. Not exactly dressed to kill, she had long ago lost the art, not to mention the confidence to do that, but dressed nicely at least. Together with a good half of Dr. Hunter's women patients, she had long secretly fancied him. Not that she would ever have dared make that known to him. Ever since her breakup with Mal, her esteem had been on the floor. At 37, she was an attractive woman, and would be a lot more attractive, several of her friends and her late sister had told her, if she put back some of the weight she had lost. She was haggard, she knew. She could see for herself just by looking in the mirror. Haggard from worrying about everything, but most of all from worrying for over 6 years about Caitlin. It was shortly after her 9th birthday that Caitlin had first been diagnosed with liver disease. It felt like the two of them had been in a long, dark tunnel ever since. The never-ending visits to the specialists, the tests, the brief periods of hospitalisation down here in Sussex, and longer periods, one of almost a year, in the liver unit of the Royal South London Hospital. She'd endured operations to insert stents in her bile ducts, then operations to remove stents, endless transfusions. At times, she was so low on energy from her illness that she would regularly fall asleep in class. She became unable to play her beloved saxophone because she found it hard to breathe. And all along, as she became a teenager, Caitlin was getting more angry and rebellious, demanding to know, why me?